say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Well, yesterday I had a good chance to sit down with our staff, and I so much enjoyed in my ministry training just getting a chance to sit down and talk to Preacher Smith and pick his brain about what he had learned in the ministry. And just honestly, when you get an opportunity to be around an older person, man or woman, that is extremely wise about God and the Bible, they're a blessing. They're normally, though, like deep water, but the Bible says, but a man of understanding will learn how to draw it out. And so being around people that are older, that are extremely godly, that have experiences, that have history, love that. And I just talk enough to get them talking, and I ask enough questions to begin to draw out information from them that I believe could be helpful to me. I hate to admit that I'm getting old enough now to have a few experiences along the way. This morning, though, three things. As I sat and talked to those staff guys yesterday and just began to talk about different subjects and different issues, I just began to warn them about one of the things they needed to watch out for them in the ministry. That is really, if I would title this message, it would be three things that are especially hard for believers to bear. That if I look back over my years of living for Jesus Christ, and I could give you a list of, top three things in my opinion that are difficult for me to bear, these would be the three. I began to share one with them, and then I branched out and shared the other two. But it goes like this, chapter 10, all right, and we'll talk about the first one. The first one is when it seems like, and it's expressed in a lot of different ways throughout the book of Psalms, but it's expressed in chapter 10, verse number 1, like this. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? One of the toughest things to bear as a believer, considering the fact that we're dependent upon the Lord, we trust in the Lord, is that it seems like, especially at times when we really, really, really need the Lord to come through for us, and if you've lived any time at all as a Christian, you've learned that in many of those occasions that it seems like the Lord is very quiet. In fact, sometimes completely silent. And it's very disturbing to any believer when they're in need of God to come through for them, and we're dependent upon that, when the truth is, in verse number 1, he says, why do you stand afar off? In fact, in verse number 1, he also says, and why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why do you do that, God? It's a very interesting study if you go through even the book of Psalms and you just type in the word why, and just look at the list of the questions, because even believers sometimes have questions like, why does God operate that way? And the first thing that you'll find as a believer that is, and it's very troubling to every believer that experiences it, and all of us will if you live long enough serving the Lord, that it seems like, I'm not saying he is, but it seems like he's standing afar off when you really need him to be near. It seems like he's hiding himself at a time of trouble when you really need him to come through. So much so in chapter number 22, if you want to turn there, and we'll just kind of take a little skip through the book of Psalms here, it says verse number 1 of chapter 22, to the chief musician, unto, that guy, a psalm of David. And he says this, and we know that this was also reiterated by Jesus Christ when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So when you're in chapter 10, it's like, why are you standing afar off? Why are you hiding yourself in a time of trouble? When you get to chapter number 22, the psalmist writes, why have you forsaken me? Now, the truth is the Lord never forsakes his people, but there are times in the Christian life, and even with Old Testament believers, that it feels like he's standing afar off when we need him to come through. It feels like that he's hiding himself in a time of trouble. And there are even times that it feels like he has forsaken. He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring?" When I'm calling out to you, why are you so far? And these words were even by the Christ, the Messiah, reiterated as he's hanging there on the cross. And he said, "Eli, Eloi," or "Eloi, lama sabachthani." In other words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So even Jesus at the crucifixion, God in a human body, God the Son in a human body, hanging on the cross, as God shuts the lights off for 3 hours, and as he's hanging there on the cross, that even the Messiah had that feeling. The feeling was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, he hadn't forsaken him. But there are times, and it's very troubling in the Christian life, when we think that. When you get to chapter 42 and verse number 9, he says these words, I will say unto my rock," not just "why have you forsaken me," not just "why have you hid yourself in times of trouble," not just "why are you standing afar off," but "I will say unto my rock," chapter 42, verse number 9, "why hast thou forgotten me?" God forgot me. I don't know if you've ever been there as a Christian that you're like, man, the Lord, he just completely forgot me. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why do I got to go through this? One chapter later, in chapter number 43 and in verse number 2, there's even a stronger wording here. In chapter 43, verse number 2, he says, "For thou art the God of my strength." And he's like, "Why dost thou cast me off?" And the truth is that we get into the New Testament, into the book of Romans, and the question is, has God cast off his people? And the answer to that is, God forbid. But it doesn't sometimes keep us from feeling like, and I would have you raise your hand, but it would be almost every Christian that's in here that's been saved any length of time at all, that at some point in your Christian life, it feels like he's cast you off, that he's forgotten you, that he has forsaken you, that he is standing afar off, or that he's hiding himself when you really, really feel like you need him to come through. And it's very troubling at times like that. When you get to chapter number 88, there's one more of these, why do you do this, that you find in the book of Psalms. Chapter number 88, and it's in verse number 14, Psalm chapter number 88, and in verse number 14, and it goes like this. "Lord, why castest thou off my soul?" So he's cast me off like the previous one. And then the question is, "Why hidest thou thy face from me?" Why have you forsaken me? Why have you cast me off? Why are you hiding your face from me? Because for a believer that's been saved, especially for years and years, the face of the Lord and seeking the Lord's face and knowing that the Lord is looking at you and that he has his attention on you and that he's really caring about you, that becomes very, very, very important to you as you mature as a believer. And at any point along the way, when it feels like he's cast you off, that he feels like he's forsaken you, he's hiding from you when you need him to be really close, and that you're calling and he's not hearing, one of the most dreadful times for any believer is what they call, and you could probably put all of these underneath that one title, which is called the silent times. That you're needing a response, you're looking for a response, you're needing deliverance, and it's like God goes quiet. And probably the best thing I've ever heard on this issue, I heard very recently when somebody said, I can't remember who, that the teacher is normally silent during a time of test. And that's true, isn't it? Remember when we had pop quizzes along the way? You're like, "Oh, I got some questions. I'm not taking questions." Yeah, but what about take the test? And with God, it does seem like that a lot of times when we are in times of testing, that he goes quiet, like Christ on the cross. What do we hold on to? Well, four times in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go before thee. And then here's the promise that's reiterated four times in the scriptures. He will never fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Joshua chapter number 1, the same thing is reiterated when Joshua is told, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will not fail thee, Deuteronomy chapter number 31, verse 6, nor forsake thee. In Joshua chapter 1, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work. He won't fail you. He'll never be insufficient, and he'll never bail on you. Now, that doesn't keep us from feeling like he has forsaken us or has bailed on us. But that's why we're not called to walk by feeling, but we're called to walk by what? By faith. To believe that God will keep his word, and he does. But to believe that God will keep his word, that he's never going to fail us nor forsake us. And even in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it says, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Nor forsake thee. I'm never bailing out on you. Yeah, but God, it doesn't feel like you are right here, but you are. I still remember last summer, little Bo was outside with me. It was after dark. He wanted to go out. I can't remember. I think I was checking on the chickens. And he wanted to go out and check on the chickens after dark. And so, but you know, Bo, he's got a lot of energy, so he's always kind of like running off. So he's going with you to check on chickens, but while you're checking on chickens, he's running around doing something else. And so he was 4, I think, at the time. And out in our side yard, we used to have a swimming pool, and the kids they're not tall enough to see over it. And so, you know, I was getting the chicken eggs, and I'm coming back out. Well, Bo, he just kind of like, he disappeared. Well, I could look over and see his little head bobbing on the other side of the swimming pool. And so I just decided, you know, I'm just going to hide from him. I'm not leaving him. I'm not leaving him out there in the dark by himself. But I thought, I'll just kind of duck down here and maybe teach him a little lesson. He needs to stay close. And I ducked down behind the swimming pool. And then about 5 seconds, he realized, where's Boppy? And he starts yelling out, Boppy! Boppy! And then he's realizing I'm out here in the dark, and he's thinking he's by himself, and about 2 cry outs from me, and he started busting out in tears. And then I started feeling really bad, you know, because I'm like, I'm a loser. But about 5 to 10 seconds, and he's at a full cry, and I haven't left him. I'm just on the other side of the pool. I would not do that. God would not bail out on you. He would not forsake you. No matter what the devil provokes you to think or how you feel, the truth is, God said, I will never fail you and I will never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, so why does God tests us like that? He goes quiet during times of testing. Those times of testing, according to 1 Peter chapter number 5, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Now the thing is, probably many of you have even memorized that verse. After you have suffered a little while, he will what? There's 3 things. He will what? Establish, he will strengthen, and he will, oh, do you guys know this? 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to be back in the book of Psalms, but if you guys would have done better with that verse, I would have. And I know you're like me, you're like, I don't want to say the wrong thing in front of all these people, right? But in 1 Peter chapter number 5, in fact, before he said that I will, through suffering, I will establish, chapter 5, verse number 10. Ready? But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So this salvation we have is going to last a long time. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, he will make you what? Perfect. He's going to make you perfect. Now, not in the sinless sense. In this world, we understand that we're sinners and we will mess up to some degree all the way up until the time the Lord takes us out of here. But the goal is that to get us as close as we can to Christ's likeness before we get out of here. And so God's goal is that through sufferings, after that ye have suffered a little while, that he's going to make us perfect. He's going to establish, and on the road to perfection, he needs to establish us, he needs to strengthen us, and he needs to settle us. Now, when we are established, strengthened, and settled, that only takes place after that you have suffered a little while, because when you learn to walk by faith and trust the promises of God, we're not just going to throw in the towel. I ran across, I haven't planned on using this illustration today, but I ran across an illustration this past week, and it goes like this. A Christian said, I threw in the towel and told the Lord that I quit. And then the Lord threw it back and said, wipe your face, you're almost there. That's good, isn't it? Because there have been times I've felt like, you know, throwing in the towel. But after you've suffered for a little while and God establishes you, strengthens you, settles you, on the road to making us perfect. You know, be a Christian and try to throw in the towel. But it was in the time of testing. We find out a lot about ourselves when we feel like throwing in the towel. In fact, in Proverbs chapter number 24, verse number 10, the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? It's small. So one of the great tests to see how strong are you as a believer? And if in the day of adversity, if you faint, it's an indicator that you're probably not as far along as you thought you were in this Christian journey. It's interesting, years and years ago, I told the story, I think, one other time throughout the years, that Sherry and I, we bought our first house over at Mount Orb when I was working on staff over there. And my parents had so many trees when we were growing up that we constantly had to mess with leaves in the fall, and I didn't want to have to mess with leaves, so we bought a piece of property, and it didn't have a tree on it. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And then you live there for a year or two, and you're like, man, we could use a good shade tree around this place. And so I asked my neighbor, I said, man, can I come over into your woods? He had some nice trees over in his woods, some maples that were really beautiful. They were back, kind of clustered in an area. And I'm like, man, could I come over there and just dig up? Can I mark them in the fall and then come over in the spring and dig up a couple of trees? And I especially have my eye on this one. It was orange and red. Man, I'm telling you, it was probably one of the prettiest trees I've ever seen, but it was young. I'm like, this tree, when it gets big, this thing is going to be awesome. He's like, no problem, go ahead. So I went and marked them out the spring. I went, dug it up. I brought that thing over, and I put it right in the middle of our front yard. I'm like, this is awesome. That little tall, skinny, lanky little thing, it was back in that woods. It never got any wind to try it and test it and push on it to make it stronger. And that thing was like a rubber band, I'm telling you. We got to that fall and an ice storm came in and the ice got on that tree. And I'm telling you, it was about probably 10 feet tall and the thing doubled over and the top of the tree was on the ground. It was like, and I looked out, I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, what is wrong with that tree? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's so wimpy. Well, never had to go through much because it was always protected all the time. Kind of like our kids a little bit sometimes too, isn't it? I'm for protecting our kids, putting them in the best position they can to succeed, but I'm telling you what, if you don't let your kids go through some difficulties before they get out of the house as a believer, they're going to be so wimpy. It's very true. Christ is sufficient. He's not going to fail them or forsake them. Sherry and I would much rather our girls have struggled while they were still in our house where we had their ear every day than when they got out on their own, because we were so hyper-protective of them that we never let them hurt or suffer. But we're reminded, 1 Peter chapter 5, that after you suffer a little while, God's going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Does God protect you from everything? He doesn't, does he? He lets you hurt. He lets me hurt. But in the process, no matter how we feel about whether he's there or not there, whether you see him or acknowledge his presence or not, he will never, ever fail you nor forsake you. And he's going to teach you to walk by faith. That means, Charles Stanley says, you believe that God will do what he said that he will do. So don't be throwing in the towel, because God's going to throw it back. All right? Psalm 42. You might say, why do you emphasize that so much? Because I'm telling you, it's a bummer when you as a believer and when I as a believer are calling out to the Lord and begging him for help, and it does not feel like he's 100 miles from you. In chapter 42, we find what I believe is the second thing, and maybe this is my opinion message, but it does have scripture to back it up. I'm just telling you the three hardest things maybe for me that I've experienced as a believer. Chapter 42, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? If you live the Christian life very long, the second thing that's going to be extremely troubling to you is you're going to be cast down in your soul. You're going to be tore up, disquieted about something, and you're not going to be able to figure out why. I've said to my wife several times over the probably 4 to 5 times in the last 23 years that we've been out here, I'll say something to her like this. I don't know why I'm so down in the dumps, but I am. There's something bothering me. I cannot put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. And my wife will say, it's nothing, babe. But her saying it's nothing doesn't change how I feel about it, that I'm like, I'm disquieted. There's something bothering me. I don't know what it is. I can't. If I could tell you what it was, I wouldn't have to ask, why am I cast down? That I'm cast down in the dumps. I have no reason to be in the dumps because the circumstances all around me are going great. I've even been down in the dumps, cast down in my soul at times that this church has been doing the best it's ever done. And I sit around and wonder, what in the world is wrong with me? Why am I so cast down? Why is my soul so disquieted in me, stirred up? And I can't find anybody around me. I can't find anything that I can put my finger on to say that's the reason. In fact, in chapter 42, verse number 11, he asks the same thing. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? When you get to chapter 43, verse number 5, same thing, 3 times. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What is wrong with me? You ever have one of those times? Maybe there's somebody in here going through one of those times. Maybe that's why the Lord ordered up this message. Right now you're like, preacher, I'm right there. I don't have anything to be sad about. Everything is really going well. But I'm just down in the dumps. Been there. It's really troublesome, isn't it? Especially when you can't figure out why. But when I'm in chapter number 42 and in verse number 5, here's what I do know is this. I do know that at some point I'm pulling through that thing. Now, it's crazy. And I don't even know how to tell you to get through that time if you're there today in your life. I don't even know how to tell you to get through it except that you hope in God. In fact, David writes these words, hope thou in God. In fact, it seems like he's kind of schizophrenic here, and he's not schizophrenic, But have you ever talked to yourself? I'm like, what is wrong with me? I've even talked, I'm like, so what is wrong with you? Because I know what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. And why am I so cast down? Why am I so disquieted when I know the promises of God and I believe the promises of God? And sometimes it's like we even have to encourage ourselves to go, hope thou in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's going to come and God's going to be looking at me and he is going to help me. I know that he's going to bring me through this thing. In fact, in chapter 42, verse number 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? You need to be hoping in God, he said. For I shall yet praise him. Now, it doesn't say in verse number 11, for the help of his countenance, but it says, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Because I'm telling you, when you sense very strongly that the Lord is near, that he is close, that he is with you, he is the health and he is the hope and the help of your countenance. Chapter 43, verse number 5 says the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? You need to be hoping in God, he said. For I shall yet, he's like, I know, I shall yet praise him. I know I'm going to be praising him because he's coming through for me, who is the health of my countenance, and he's my God. So number one thing is, that's troubling to a believer, and every believer goes through it given enough time. Where's God? Why isn't God, why does it seem like when he hasn't, God has forsaken me, forgotten me, is hiding from me, etc. Number two, when my soul is disquieted and I don't know why. And here's number three, and this is, I close with this one, and you'll know as soon as I start into it that this one is a bummer. It's found in chapter 41 of the book of Psalms, and we'll pick it up in verse number 5. Mine enemies speak evil of me. And you ever had enemies that they wonder, like, when's he or she gonna die? And not just when is David going to die, he writes. Mine enemies speak evil of me, and they wonder when I'm going to die, and they wonder when my name is going to perish, because they're getting sick of hearing my name. Verse number 6. And if he come to see me, he speaks vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself when he goes abroad, and he tells it. So he comes, even when these people that are your enemies, they come to see you, they're just looking for ammo to use, because when they get back out on Facebook or Twitter, then they're going to blow you up with it. When your enemies speak evil of you, when they're wondering, when are you going to die? When's your name going to perish? They come to see me, but he speaks vanity. He's not being honest and upright. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. He goes abroad. He tells it. He tries to find something I've done wrong, and then he goes and blabs it. All that hate me whisper together against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, he's got an evil disease, and it cleaves fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he will rise up no more. He's finally going to die. But then when you get to verse number 9, he says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now this hurts. Now, the answer to it when that happens is you talk to God about it. And God will put some other people around you to help you, support you. And by the grace of God, God's going to deliver you. He will deliver you.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening.